Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Tie-dye expert.
Okay.
It's new. I haven't started yet, but I think I'm going to be an expert.
Okay.
Interesting. Let's move on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That voice in the background that you hear chastising Tony a little bit is Will Hottie Patati Schmidt from the Bay Area coming via satellite Skype.
Hello.
Hello, Will.
And he has a new big poster right next to him on his wall over on Skype.
It's a quilt.
It's a quilt. So it's either a fancy quilt that he hung up, or he's trying to tunnel out and he's just covering up the hole he's digging.
He's like trying to get out of there. I love that Tony has to see Will, but I can't see
right?
Will.
It's like, I gotta see him.
No, my mom is one of the top quilters in the country.
Yeah,
She's got plenty to go around, so she gave me one.
Cool.
As a matter of fact, we just got a question. I think that we're going to cover it in a couple of weeks from someone who knew who your mom was or something like that. We'll cover it soon.
She's kind of a big deal.
You're right. I know. Yeah. Oh, rock nice. On quilter.
Nice. All right. So if you haven't followed us on Facebook yet, I don't know what the holdup is.
There's some kind of problem
there. Yeah. Something's going on. Go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our show topics. You guys can ask any questions you want us to cover, or you can even pitch a show idea. We love that. Or Rick can just ask all the questions and nobody
anything.
Else
We don't
can.
Have anything from Rick in this show.
What? No.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Wow.
We'll be okay. It'll all work out.
All right.
We're handling some emailed in questions today
because
we've been getting a lot. Right. Let's get right on them.
We're just going to dive in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just all random, like a potluck of questions?
Yeah, this is just asking questions.
All right. Tim, first off, I would like to congratulate you and the Kick It Naturally team for your success thus far. I'm new to your content, but excited to backpedal through all the older podcasts and material so I'm caught up.
Well, just know that we're a little more annoying, a little dirtier. The further you go back, we cause a lot of problems back then.
Yeah, we got a lot of write-ups for that. When it comes to nutrition, the hardest part I go through is feeling satisfied that I've done enough each day to fulfill my nutrient needs to the absolute fullest. The type of questions I ask during my research comes from a concoction of information gathered through various interest levels throughout the past 10 years or so. So I may have mixed old fragrances with new and now have a mixture that throws the senses off. My biggest question right now is, if I'm just getting back into running after taking a few months off, should I be taking additional supplements for joint relief in order to ease my knees, hips, and ankles back into the rough treatment phase? Or can I simply add something to my diet, such as a certain amount of fish, and do the same job or better? Better yet, should I not even concern myself and just start running again?
Forrest Gump.
Impressed you're running.
Forrest Gump didn't do anything. He just started running.
Ran.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He just felt like running.
Mm-hmm. And those braces came off his legs when he ran.
So that's important to remember, is we should learn about life through Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in Forrest Gump.
You were?
I was in Forrest Gump.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was an extra in the scene where the black related girl is coming. She was like a new black student at a white college or something like that. And she comes out and they're...
Watch.
I can't remember what it was, but...
But life is like a box of chocolates.
Exactly.
Like,
that's
did
what
you
I
like throw a brick at her? Or?
No, I was just a dude standing. But you could see me in the crowd.
That's awesome.
I know, I'm practically famous. Anyways, so one thing to look at with Tim is that, you know, I went through a similar situation where I had studied nutrition for 10 years before I came across the information that we're teaching now. So I really thought I knew stuff, and it was hard to kind of relearn some things. But even today, I try to remember that, you know, things that we learn are wrong. And I guarantee we'll say something in this show that 5 years later we'll realize that was wrong. Because it just kind of happens. Just things kind of evolve, and we're just all using the best information that we can. So just put yourself in a position to accept that, okay, I'm going to relearn some things, and that can be a lot easier. First, before we talk about steps that Tim could take as far as to run again, he talks about things that we could do with diet. Could I just eat a bunch of fish? And you might be surprised that I think Will and I might suggest that that might be the last thing that you want to do, because a lot of people will suggest fish because of the omega-3s. They feel like they're anti-inflammatory, and the response that they have in many cases is anti-inflammatory, but they kind of go about it by creating a lot of trouble in other areas. So I explained this to a client the other day. I explained it to, like, say that you had a china shop and it was cold in that china shop. Well, if you go and you stand next to a bull, he puts off all these heat. If you just stand to him, he has this enormous mass of tissue that he is a bull. And so he puts off all this heat, and you could warm yourself by just standing next to him. But if you put the bull in your china shop to warm up the china shop, you fix the problem of it being cold, but you're going to create a lot of other problems.
Yeah.
Because he's going to break the china, Kenna.
Yeah. At first, I thought you said a bowl, like a bowl, like you put a soup in.
Soup.
You stand next to a bowl. No. But no, but yeah, so the one of the main tricky things about omega-3s is they suppress your immune system. So that's one reason why people experience less inflammation when they take them, because their immune system is eliciting an inflammatory response. And then when they take the omega-3s, it suppresses that response, so then they don't feel as inflamed. So they call them, oh, they're anti-inflammatory. Like, well, oh, they're immunosuppressive. And then we could say, like, oh, it's immunosuppressive. That's not good that it's blocking that. I don't want to suppress my immune system, which is trying to heal the situation through its inflammatory response. So we just think, oh, less inflammation is good. But that's not true. Like, inflammation is part of the thing your body needs to do to create healing. But to get to his question, other than we don't like using fish to heal knees.
Well, another thing, let's not pass up an important part, too, that is that those omega-3s are very pro-catabolic, which is pushing your body further into the breakdown and away from the anabolic buildup and repair phase. So that can be problematic. If you had, you know, issues in the past, I assume you're asking this question because you had issues that may have caused you to stop running or reduce your running. I don't think that somebody who was just going to run would be like, how do I keep from being in pain? You just start running. So if you had problems before and you're trying to improve them, you don't want to push yourself further into a catabolic state. You may already be there. You need to kind of see where you are first.
Yeah. I would say also probably the most, if you don't have an issue of like some sort of systemic arthritis where you know like all of your joints and your hands and your feet are all achy, and you start to get pain in specific areas when you do specific activities, almost definitely it has mostly to do with your biomechanics and your biochemistry, and having healthy tissues is definitely important. But if it's a kind of pain that happens in a very specific spot in your body, like your knee when you run, it almost definitely needs to be treated through correction of your movement patterns and posture. And we have some exercise and alignment videos available. There's some on my site, mybodyofknowledge.net. And we're working on a whole pain relief course, which really ties in the multifactorial aspect of body pain. Like, there's body chemistry and there's biomechanics, our movement patterns. And when we have joint-specific pain, a lot of the times we can really, really fix it by correcting our biomechanics. And biochemistry can help support that healing process. But if it's like with running, I would think you should definitely do some alignment exercises. That would be the most bang for your buck as far as keeping from getting injured when you try to start out running.
Right. So let's look back to, so that's an important thing. And so don't skip over that. But now getting back to more of the question of, you know, are there things that I could do as far as supplements or dietary situations? And if you're going to be, causing more trauma to these joints and tissues that you're using while you're running, a good idea is not only to make sure that your body can rebuild and repair and that you're moving into that anabolic state at night. You can learn how to do that in our almost free 4-week digestion course where you can look at your own chemistry and see where you are. But you need to make sure that you're giving your body the tools it needs to rebuild and repair, especially connective tissue. Will, do you want to talk a little bit about, what could we do with bone broth and gelatin and collagen and things like that?
Yeah. So our favorite sort of general health, like staple foods that we see pretty much appropriate for everyone. Even if you're working on healing your digestion, things like bone broth can help with that, but also really give you the nutrients you need, especially the amino acids that are most abundant in collagen and gelatin, like glycine and proline. They're really, really useful for not only the structural building blocks that we use to make proteins, but also their hormonal impact and how they help protect cells and appropriately reduce inflammatory responses by facilitating the healing processes that our body goes through. That, as well as some other antioxidants and like agents that also help with connective tissue, like vitamin C. Whole food form sources of vitamin C are also really useful in protecting against the oxidative damage that things like exercise and joint stress can cause. And they also form critical crosslinks in our collagen. So without sufficient vitamin C, we get oxidative damage and we don't have the structural building blocks we need to make healthy connective tissue. So those would be two things I would really emphasize, would be a food form source of vitamin C and regular consumption of gelatin or collagen protein.
Right. And so you can get a lot of that good, collagen and such when you're making bone broth and drinking that on a regular basis. But you can also use supplements. The Great Lakes is what's the one we call it. Is it Great Lakes or Great Lakes? I feel like I'm missing a word.
Great Lakes Gelatin is the brand name.
Okay.
And then the Great Lakes Gelatin makes a collagen hydroisolate. You can find either of those on Amazon.
Right. And then, of course, we made our own protein powder that includes, we tried to find a lot of those things that were missing in most protein powders, and we put them in there so that they would be available. And you can find our protein at naturalselectionnutritionals.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we put in an organic form of vitamin C and acerola cherry, as well as grass-fed collagen and some other great things that are generally good for digestion, like enzymes, a particular probiotic, the Beet Flow product is in there. So, yeah.
Cool. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com. Megan emailed, I never had food allergies except sinus issues and ate anything I wanted growing up. When I turned 18, I went off gluten and dairy to help my sinus issues, and after a year and ever since have had severe stomach issues. My diet is very limited and different foods affect me at different times. I have gone to the ER several times for severe sharp pains and often have to take off work. It hurts so bad. And I have also had a lot of testing done and they have not found anything. I get acid reflux on and off as well. I have been to several homeopathic doctors and tried many different medicines they have given me, but they have not been able to figure anything out, and it is a constant guessing game. I currently take probiotics and enzymes daily. I don't know what else to do, and it has brought me in and out of depression, and I have anxiety over foods to eat, especially in social situations.
Well, none of that sounds very fun.
Wow.
I don't want to have any of that. And you know what's interesting, though, it might make you feel a little bit better, Megan, is I went through the same situation. It was a different, I wasn't having the horrible stomach pains all the time. I was having them occasionally, but mine was more about the voice stuff. But I went to 23 different doctors, so I win.
Hmm.
I win. But I don't know how many actual doctors you've been to, but I think if it was more than 23, you would have mentioned that. So I'm going to call it, and I'm going to say that I win. But know that there
Show
are...
Over.
I what?
Show over.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
I dropped the mic. So just know that there are answers, and you may have just, similar to what I was doing, kind of digging in the wrong place. So a lot of these things that you're talking about together make sense to us. In most situations, when someone's having horrible stomach pain and they're not finding any problems, it's almost always because the person is not digesting the food. The food is rotting and fermenting. It's creating these gases. It's creating an environment for all of these bad little bastards to live and thrive. And every time you eat food, as it rots and ferments, these gases cause an expansion in your digestive tract. Just like air in a balloon would cause it to expand, that's what's happening with your digestive tract. and that causes pain. Now, there's about 40 other things that could cause pain going on in there, but that seems to be the most common one. So when people take steps to where they can actually break down the food that they're eating, it eliminates a lot of these problems that are going on, and the pain just seems to kind of go away. Can we talk about some other factors that kind of go along with that? And let's also talk about the reflux and, you know, how that can be a real confirmation of that she's having trouble.
Sure. That was the main thing I wanted to bring up after hearing her thing is, like, she should definitely do our Almost Free Digestion course, because she thinks it sounds like she's been to a lot of different people trying to figure this out. And she's saying she's taking probiotics and enzymes. And it's really important to know the fundamentals of what needs to happen in digestion for things to go right. And part of that is having enough stomach acid. And I don't know if any of these other people have had her try taking HCL. And I don't know if any of them had her take any antimicrobials like D-limonene, or if she's ever been tested for H. pylori, that sort of thing. But I would think, like, she's got to figure out first and foremost what is actually off in her stomach. Does she have a bacterial overgrowth? Almost definitely. Does she have a hiatal hernia? I don't know, maybe, but she could check. Does she have H. pylori? I don't know, but that can also be tested for. So the first thing you want to do is figure out what is going on, what is off in that case. And you can go see someone be checked for H. pylori or a hiatal hernia. And you can also experiment with taking D-limonene to kill off bacteria and see if that eliminates your acid reflux. And, in taking our digestive issues course, you'll learn how to discern what is actually off in your case. And then it'll make sense of what to do. But it's a matter of, like, what's going on chemically in your stomach. Fix that. And there's different things that you might need to do. But it's not just taking enzymes and a probiotic. It's like, troubleshooting what's actually going on in your case. And doing our digestion course will help you do that effectively.
Right. And so, one interesting thing about, because it's all we hear about is like probiotics when we're trying to fix any form of digestion or even constipation or anything. They just talk about probiotics, and some people will talk about enzymes. And both of those things are important factors in the whole digestive process. They're kind of crucial. But when someone's having digestive problems, those two things alone will almost never fix the problem unless that individual's problem was mild. So what we find is that people need to fix the two major points of digestion, the acid production and the bile flow. And those are the two things that usually need the most work. And when you fix those, you can get a big boost and improvement. And then adding some probiotics occasionally, not all the time, and adding some digestive enzymes can be very helpful and kind of round out the whole digestive process. But very rarely are those two things enough to fix a problem. So another suggestion that I would make is to go to kickitnaturally.com and in the search box, just put in food allergies. And you'll find our episode on food sensitivities and allergies. And there's a difference between those two things. And it's important to understand that if you're having acid reflux, it's almost always because you're not producing enough acid, not too much, it's not enough to trigger that valve to close so that you don't get the reflux. So if you're not producing enough acid, you're not breaking down that food properly. So can we give her just a quick recap, Will, of why not breaking down food properly could create a food sensitivity issue that may have not been there earlier in her life?
Sure. I'd say it's somewhat the difference between eating an egg and injecting it into your arm.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay.
So if you think about that, like, because in the process of digesting, like, those proteins and fats, they get broken down and processed like crazy. There's lots of stages in digestion. But our bloodstream is not set up to just receive chicken or egg or apple. No, it's not. It's supposed to be broken down into all its different substrates. So when our digestion isn't happening properly, our we don't, one, we don't get those nutrients then. They either don't make it through the intestinal lining into our bloodstream, or if we have any sort of perforations or damage to the intestinal tract, then some of those things can leak into the bloodstream, and our body has an immune response to them because it doesn't recognize chicken or eggs as a nutrient. It recognizes as a foreign invader. So then we'll have an inflammatory and immune response to those foods. And our body can kind of tag those molecules and things that it should be sensitive to then in the future. So sometimes, even when we fix digestion, we have to still stay away from foods for a while until our immune response to them is sort of mitigated over time. But the main thing to walk away from it is to know that our digestive system has to be functioning properly for any food to be nutritious to us. And if it's not, then we can develop these sensitivities to them. You may have had, it's a lot of people these days get food sensitivity and food allergy tests done, and they're very frustrating to me because there's the only papers and documentation that I've ever seen that that speak highly of the accuracy of those results are the papers written by those companies themselves, the companies provide them. Any like clinical journal that's showing research studies on IgG or IgH testing shows they have a lot of false positives, saying people are allergic to things that they're not actually allergic to. And some things are foods that people have been eating for their whole life, like, oh, like blueberries, I put in my smoothie for the last 20 years, but apparently I'm super allergic to them, so I shouldn't have them anymore, you know? So they cut out these foods. And that's not really accurate. And part of it is because of this whole digestion mitigation thing. Like with the way IgG and IgH tests look at it, they like expose the cells directly to the foods. And that's not how it actually happens in the body. Like it runs through the digestive system first normally, unless you have like celiac disease with holes in your intestines. So the big takeaway of it is like do the work to try to fix your digestion, and you'll find like a lot of these foods that you thought you had issues to, you don't actually have issues to anymore.
Right. And I went, and this is such an important topic that I went back and added a whole chapter to our Kick Your Fat in the Nuts book. And it teaches you how to do a 30-day elimination diet where you're getting rid of a lot of the foods that often cause problems for the most amount of people. And you see how your situations improve. And then you can add the foods back in one at a time. And this, of course, is after fixing digestion. If you don't fix digestion, it's not going to do any good anyways. But this is so important that I took this whole chapter out of the book and put it right on my website so anybody could read it for free. So just go to kickitinthenuts.com. That's a different site. And then put in that search box, remove the trouble. And you'll find that chapter and you can read how to do all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to take back anything that I just said, but I do want to like add to what you just mentioned, that some foods actually do cause problems, like certain grains can and certain plant fibers a lot of the time can be very hard for us to digest, and they can be things that we are actually truly sensitive to. Even if our stomach acid is working well and our bile is flowing well, there are some foods for some people that can be a problem, and it has a lot to do with their personal intestinal flora population, but it is sometimes necessary to do those allergy elimination diets.
Right.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Is that it?
I'm all done saying stuff.
All right, cool. So Megan and anybody else, if you want to learn how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. Or you can head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a lot of great blogs and pain relief videos and all kinds of stuff. So
see you next week.
See ya.
All righty.
Bye.